ETL Echo presents Stag by In Dreams. Chapter 1. No story worth telling ever began with dirty socks. At least, no proper, masterfully crafted story ever began with dirty socks. Draco Malfoy considered himself a bit of a connoisseur with regards to good fiction, good non-fiction, and all the blurred lines in between and therein. Not once, but twice, his books had landed atop the Wizarding Britain bestsellers list, and never had he ever so much as imagined a story about dirty socks. Until Theo Bloody Knot ran into Harry fucking Potter in a laundromat for Merlin's sake. Nearly a decade after the Battle of Hogwarts, sides on a battlefield and house-inspired pride mere memories in a tormented past, the two of them had hit it off. The pair had become inseparable almost overnight, as though polyjuiced, amortentiad, or a strange mix of the two. Draco didn't begrudge his best mate any happiness in the world, even if that came in the form of the boy who lived, and, according to Theo, said boy had become quite the manly specimen. Draco didn't need the details, and even more so, he didn't care to think about Potter in that way. But if nothing else, he was pleased to see the sparkle return to Theo's eye for the first time in years. Draco didn't know that he had ever seen Theo so happy. He'd even made a proper effort to welcome Potter into their circle. After the years of strife that Wizarding England as a collective had faced in those early years after the war, a sort of tentative camaraderie had developed. Almost unnoticeably at first, but then Draco started to feel it in full force, that almost no one cared to fight any longer. A perpetual state of battle weariness had settled across most everyone from his year. It had been stark and humbling, and the first time Hermione Granger had said hello to him and waved over a scoop of Fortescues, Draco had whirled to see who was behind him. Still, when Theo first brought up his relationship with Potter, of all people, Draco had been trapped in disbelief, until the first time he saw the two of them together. After 10 minutes, he had been convinced the pair of them belonged together, and over the years, the rest had simply fallen into place. Draco wasn't surprised when they decided to move in together, and he also wasn't surprised when they announced their engagement. But this?
You want me to what?
A goofy, dreamy grin spread across Theo's face, one that had only emerged since Potter's influence had appeared in his life, and he shrugged.
It was Harry's idea, but I think it'll be fun. Like a stag night, but instead of just the blokes, it'll be all our closest friends away for the weekend.
Draco pursed his lips and waved an idle hand.
Go back a moment. To the other part.
Theo's grin faltered, his eyes growing large and innocuous.
The no magic part? It'll be fun, Draco. You could stand to rely on your magic a little less, if I'm entirely honest. I rely on my magic a normal amount, Draco clipped in return. I can't imagine wanting to spend the weekend camping in the middle of nowhere without magic. How in the bloody blazes will we?
Draco. Clamping his jaw shut with a click of his teeth, Draco folded his arms and released a breath through his nose.
Fine. When is this weekend meant to happen?
2 weeks from now. Ducking his chin, Theo fixed Draco with a hard stare.
I know this isn't exactly your cup of tea, but as my best man, it'll mean a lot to me if you can refrain from not complaining the whole time. Yeah?
Yeah. Draco plastered a banal smile onto his lips.
Of course. Who knows? Maybe it'll be fun?
Theo's eye twitched.
Was that a question?
It was a statement.
Sounded like a question. The inflection.
Draco squinted at him for a long time.
It'll be fun.
Offering a crooked grin, Theo clapped him on the shoulder.
That's the fucking spirit. Oh, and one more thing. Pansy's going to be there, so just... If you two could not be at one another's throats the whole time, that'd be grand. Of course. I see Pansy all the time.
In brief, limited doses, usually averaging less than 10 minutes, and most often in passing, as Draco scrounged for an excuse to escape. When Theo only cocked a brow, Draco pressed on.
I don't have any problem with Pansy. As a person. if only she would simply accept the fact that we broke up 4 years ago, and I've not once given her any indication that I want to get back Draco. Right. It'll be fine.
Perfect. Theo adjusted his bow tie, squaring his shoulders. I've got court with the Wizengamot in 20 minutes. Got to see about keeping a slimy curmudgeon out of Azkaban. Or not.
Draco snickered, shaking his head.
I've never seen you lose a case, so I can't imagine today's the day.
Theo offered him a wink and vanished. Blowing out a breath, Draco sank into his chair with a melodramatic sigh. Strolling the high street of Diagon Alley at a brisk pace, Draco glanced at his watch. For a brief instant, the sun reflected off the silver casing, momentarily blinding him, and Draco collided hard with another person.
Shite, he huffed, squinting as he peered down at the ground. Shite, shite, shite.
Granger sat on the cobbled walk before him, a deep frown on her lips. When Draco offered her a hand, she rolled her eyes but accepted, and he tugged her easily to her feet. But with a wince, she rubbed at her tailbone.
Sorry, Draco bit out, rubbing the back of his neck. Are you injured?
A little. Taking a cautious step, she grimaced, but forced a smile atop. No real harm done. Perhaps you might consider watching your step in the future? He felt warmth flare below the surface of his skin.
Right.
Despite her smaller stature, the peak of her wild curls hardly reached his chin. Granger had a way of making him feel smaller than her. And as she cocked both brows high on her forehead, ducked her chin and peered up at him, Draco allowed a gracious nod.
Of course, my fault.
Granger snagged her lower lip between her teeth, chewing the soft flesh as she fell into step. Where were you in such a rush to, anyway? Draco clicked his tongue, checking his watch once more because he still didn't know what time it was.
I'm trying to find a wedding gift for Theo and Potter, and I've got a meeting at 3:30 with my publisher.
Oh! Granger's eyes lit up for a split second. While Draco had never considered her much more than a casual acquaintance, they ran into one another often, through the connection between Theo and Potter. And if nothing else, they could always find a safe and common ground in books. What are you working on at the moment? He caught her eye for a second.
It's top secret.
No, it isn't. Pursing her lips and narrowing her eyes, she began walking down the road. Draco had to control his steps to keep up with her shorter stride. You don't have to tell me, of course, but I know you're only just saying that. Draco swallowed, his stare lingering on her face for a moment longer than he'd intended.
If you must know, it's a cautionary tale of the forces of good and evil warring within one's soul, a coming-of-age novel wherein a young man finds himself face to face with his demons and ultimately has to choose the right path, even if it isn't the correct one.
Granger blinked several times as she walked at his side in silence before shooting him a look. Are you writing an autobiography?
No. Maybe.
Because it sounds like...
Are you going to Theo and Potter's ridiculous muggle camping weekend?
Draco didn't care to get into the semantics about how much truth was actually rooted within the book.
Because it sounds a bit like bollocks, but also sounds right up your alley.
Because my parents are muggles? She scrunched up the bridge of her nose. Not all muggles like camping, you know.
Not because of that, Draco mused, but you're very... survival.
What in the name of Merlin is that supposed to...
What brings you to Diagon Alley today, Granger?
She stopped dead in the middle of the road, forcing Draco to halt mid-step. He spun on one heel to face her. If you must know, she said, a teasing curl to her lips. It occurred to Draco she was mocking him. I meant to register for a dance lesson. You know, in advance of the wedding. A hint of pink crept into her cheeks. I confess I'm not entirely knowledgeable about many of the old wizarding dances. And with Theo from such an old, pure-blood family, I thought it best I know what I'm doing, as Harry's best woman. Draco eyed her for a moment, the way she shifted on the spot, clasping her hands, the way she didn't quite meet his gaze, as though she were embarrassed.
No one's going to expect you to know all the old dances, Granger.
He swept a hand through his hair.
In fact, most people won't know all the old dances.
Do you?
Of course.
but I had to learn them growing up. It wasn't optional. A snicker fell from his lips. And honestly, I can't imagine you'll have much fun at a stuffy old pure-blood dance class. Have you got a partner?
No, she murmured, her flush deepening. Whoever they pair me with, I suppose.
Draco couldn't imagine anything sounding more unpleasant. His upper lip curled at the thought.
Look, Granger, let me know when the class is. If I'm available, I'll join you.
A part of him wanted to see Granger flail over the complicated footwork, while another side simply strove to do decent things every so often. Not too often, mind you, but Draco had developed a bit of a soft spot for the brunette.
It's Monday evening at 7. But you certainly don't need to do that, she muttered, looking away. Unless you're interested in seeing me fall on my face, in which case, please don't. I don't even mean to tell Harry about this, because it's a little embarrassing.
Monday at 7.
Draco fixed her with a stern look.
Though I could most assuredly teach you more than some stodgy old professional.
He didn't suppose Granger would have any interest in a private lesson, and it was for the best. Just the thought of such a thing left him a little warm around the collar.
Fine.
Although Granger looked briefly as though she regretted bringing up the idea in the first place, she didn't retract the offer. She merely gave him a stiff nod.
I'll see you then. The dance studio is just...
I know where it is.
Great.
Fixing a bright smile onto her face that didn't entirely reach her eyes, she shifted on the spot once more.
Well, I ought to let you get to your meeting. I'll see you Monday, I suppose.
Monday it is.
Although Draco spent the next few days vacillating between a desire to cancel on his impulsive plans with Granger and a flickering hope that she might uninvite him, he ventured out from his penthouse flat Monday night all the same. He didn't even like to dance and couldn't quite wrap his head around why he had offered. But a breath caught, his mouth going momentarily dry when he met up with Granger at the dance studio. She wore a pale green dress that clung to her curves and fell just above the knee with a flowing skirt. Not for the first time, he wondered why she had kept her figure so bundled beneath robes for most of the time they had known one another.
You look lovely. Draco offered an arm and led her into the studio. I hope you aren't second-guessing this mediocre plan.
Granger shot him a scowl.
No. Unfortunately, I've committed to this, and I intend to follow through. Luckily, this is only one session, though.
Draco didn't have the heart to tell her it had taken months to learn just one dance when he had been young.
I suppose you're right, given the wedding is only a few weeks away.
Right.
The instructor, a balding, elderly man who reminded Draco of his own dance instructor from his youth, began to drone on, and while Granger listened attentively with a grimace on her face, Draco zoned out. He took her hand, shaking his head slowly.
Just follow my lead, Granger.
But Merlin, if the feel of her hand didn't do something funny to his insides. The whoosh of the flue waking drew Draco's gaze from his desk. He kept a small office for his working hours, but rarely received visitors. He pursed his lips with distaste when sleek, glossy black hair emerged, and Pansy Parkinson folded her arms and fixed him with a scowl before she'd even left the hearth.
Pansy, Draco drawled, to what do I owe the visit?
With a disdainful eye roll, she leaned against the nearest wall.
I heard you took Granger dancing.
Was it not possible to do anything without word spreading? Draco blew out a breath.
Not sure where you heard that, but if I did, it's not your business, Pans.
He knew she didn't love him. Maybe she never had, but Pansy's interest in Draco had always mingled with other motivations. His name, his vault, and his influence, all encompassed by pressure from her parents.
I heard it from more than one source.
Feigning disinterest, Pansy peered at her manicured nails.
Are you dating her?
No, Pansy.
I only ask because, well, if you are, I'd like to know before we all go along on Theo's blasted muggle getaway thing.
Draco snickered despite himself.
You sound as keen on the idea as I am.
Pansy released a long, irritated noise.
I'd sooner rip my hair out.
Her slender brows lifted, expectant and derisive at once.
But are you?
For the last time, no.
The denial felt a little insincere in his throat. Obviously he wasn't dating Granger, and accompanying her to one dance lesson surely wasn't a date. They hadn't ended the night with their tongues down one another's throat, for one thing. Not that Draco was entirely opposed to the idea. But perhaps if Pansy thought he was dating Granger, she might leave him alone to stew in magic-free misery in the woods with his friends.
"I don't believe you," she hissed, eyes flashing as she misinterpreted his silence. "Honestly, Draco, you're so obvious. I don't know why you even bother lying to me."
Not that any of it wasn't hypothetical, because the fact remained that he wasn't dating Granger. But before he could open his mouth to correct her, Pansy fired him another look and vanished into the flue. Draco blew out a long breath.
Fuck. You what?
Draco cast silencing wards on Granger's office at the Ministry, withering under her searing glare.
I know it sounds insane, but if you could do me this favor...
A favor?
Merlin, Granger knew how to raise a bloke's heart rate when she was riled up. Draco had yet to decide if it was in a good way or not.
I just need you to pretend we're there together for the weekend. Just for the weekend. And it'll be fine, I swear.
And why on earth would I want to do that?
Granger lifted her brows, scowling up at him in that way of hers.
I'm not going to lie to my friends because you have some scheme that... I don't even know what this scheme is, actually.
Draco pressed his eyes shut, massaging his temples to stem the migraine that threatened.
You remember Pansy?
Right.
And you know I used to date Pansy.
Malfoy!
Releasing an exasperated breath, he blinked at her again.
Okay, look. Pansy thought we were dating because of the dance class, and I didn't correct her. And now she thinks she's right, and... Granger, she will hound me all weekend.
She seems awfully keen to get back together with you.
Draco thinned his lips.
Pansy's great. She's fantastic, and she's going to make some bloke very happy. But it isn't me, and no matter what I tell her, she doesn't believe me.
Some of the ire deflated from Granger's stance.
So you want everyone to think we're dating just to get Pansy off your back? I'm sorry, Malfoy, but I'm not going to mislead my friends for you. Maybe you just need to explain to Pansy why it isn't a good idea?
Although he knew Granger was right, and it was a ridiculous request, he couldn't deny the appeal of Pansy leaving him alone for the weekend to celebrate Theo's upcoming nuptials.
You can tell Potter if you must. I'll make sure the sleeping arrangement is acceptable.
His eyes narrowed as he stared at her.
I'll arrange for Flourish and Blotz to put you on their VIP list.
Her eyes blew wide.
You couldn't.
I could.
Merlin, you must be desperate.
She sank into her seat and chewed on the end of a sugar quill for a long moment, while Draco didn't deny it. He swallowed thickly, watching her lips close around the tip of the quill, before tearing his attention back to the woman.
If you honestly think I'm going to spend the weekend pretending to be your date just so I can get early access to all new releases, an invitation to exclusive book signings at other events, and a chance to meet my favorite authors, then...
She shook her head as though scandalized. Draco planted his hands on her desk, leaned over, and smiled.
Then what?
Then,
she thinned her lips.
You're insane. Did you know?
I've suspected for a long time.
Granger rolled her eyes.
Then I suppose I am too. Fine. But only if you obtain proof of the VIP list by Friday morning.
Draco pointed a finger at her.
Consider it done. Granger, you're my hero.
He flashed her a grin, backing towards the door.
Theo's hired some sort of large muggle vehicle to transport us, so I'll flew in early Friday morning, and we can make it official.
With a wink, Draco darted from the office before she could change her mind.
ETL Echo, echoing tales of enemies to lovers. ETL Echo presents Stag by In Dreams. Chapter 2.
Granger had owled her address in return for Draco's proof that he'd spoken with his contact at Flourish and Blotz,
to arrange for her to join the bookstore's prestigious VIP membership list. Idly, he wondered why she had agreed to such a terrible plan. But he wasn't about to question it, when Granger's willing participation meant a weekend wherein he could simply spend time with his friends without worrying about the rest of it. Never mind that he would have to explain to Pansy when he showed up at the wedding, Stag. It was a problem for his future self. When he emerged from the flue into Granger's flat, modest but tidy and well-decorated, her head popped into the sitting room from the corridor, eyes wide.
"Just a minute," she exclaimed, forcing a grimace that might have been meant as a smile.
Draco checked his watch and perched on the front of the sofa cushion, amusing himself with the array of books stacked haphazardly and overflowing from her towering bookshelf. Several minutes later, Granger returned with a bag slung over one shoulder, clad in jeans and a cotton jumper. Her wild curls had been tied into two plaits, and a muggle hat with a brim sat atop her head. Rising to his feet, Draco slid his hands into the pockets of his own jeans. Theo had insisted upon muggle attire, which left Draco feeling altogether too casual.
"You look nice," he offered, and when Granger merely stared back with wide eyes as though terrified, he added, "If we're dating, I ought to compliment you."
"Of course," she swallowed audibly, folding her arms across her front. "Shall we? Theo and Harry have rented a van, and will be departing in 20 minutes.
"Right."
Draco offered a hand, a frisson of energy darting through him when she slipped her hand into his.
"Theo still hasn't told me who's meant to drive the bloody thing. You?"
"Harry, I think." Her eyes tightened with a wince. "I'm sure it will be fine. And worst-case scenario, they're allowing us to use magic in the event of an emergency."
Despite himself, Draco chuckled.
"You have a lot of confidence in him."
A thin smile crossed her face, and she lowered her voice, almost conspiratorially.
"Harry excels in many things, but he isn't a very proficient driver."
"Why would he be?"
Tugging her closer by their joined hands, Draco stared at her for a moment, caught in her eyes.
"Thanks for agreeing to this. I suppose it's just... I'd like to enjoy the weekend with my best mate."
"I understand," she whispered, her next exhale a little shaky.
Briefly, Draco's eyes dipped south towards her mouth, but he forced himself to focus. No matter that she had agreed to play along for his sake, which she certainly didn't need to do, they weren't truly together, and he didn't want to make her uncomfortable.
"So, what does this comprise?" she asked, tongue darting out to moisten her lips. "We won't have to... I mean, as far as acting, perhaps we ought to lay some ground rules."
"Right." His own voice came out a little hoarse, and he cleared his throat. "I haven't told Theo about this arrangement, but I want you to be comfortable. You don't need to do anything you don't want to."
"Like, we won't kiss or anything," she murmured.
It was an effort to swallow around the thick lump accumulating in his throat.
"Right, of course not. Maybe some casual touching, if you're amenable."
Her fingers slid between his, and she nodded, giving his hand a squeeze.
"That's all right."
Such innocent, innocuous contact should not have set Draco's heart racing as fast as it did. Maybe this had been a terrible idea.
"Good,"
he managed, searching the flecks of gold in her eyes he'd never noticed before.
"I imagine you'll want to spend time with your friends anyway. It's just for the pretense of it, you know."
"For what it's worth," she said quietly, "I'm sorry. That Pansy won't accept you've moved on. I never had any indication she was still so hung up on you."
"She isn't," Draco said, shaking his head slowly. "Not really. The idea of it, maybe. In all fairness, her parents pressure her to settle down. And that isn't really what Pans wants, but she feels she needs to. It's hard to explain."
"Purebloods,"
Granger snickered, her lips curling with a bit of a smile.
"I guess back at Hogwarts it seemed inevitable. And you were together for so long afterwards, I suppose I thought it would always be the case."
"Sometimes we're just loyal to the wrong person."
Draco felt almost painfully aware of the way her hand still lingered in his own.
"I should have broken it off long before I did, so I'm partly to blame. Don't think poorly of Pansy, despite this."
Granger's head dropped into a tilt, her eyes tightening a little.
"Even if you don't love her anymore, I can see you still care about her. That loyalty isn't a bad thing, you know."
Draco simply stared at her for a long moment, lost for words, until she quipped,
"Anyway,
I'll do my best to be your absentee girlfriend for the weekend, and give you plenty of space to do as you like.
He ducked his head into a gracious nod.
And I you.
Bringing her hand to his mouth, he brushed a kiss to her knuckles.
Now let's go. I wouldn't put it past Theo to leave without us if we're late.
By the blank astonishment on Potter's face, Draco surmised Granger hadn't explained the situation to him, either. When they arrived at the meeting spot together, Granger's small hand once more entwined in his, Draco struggled to withhold a laugh at the red shade of Weasley's face. But they merely offered their greetings, as though the pair of them arrived at every function together, and boarded the vehicle. Potter had hired a small muggle equivalent to the night bus, with seats for 16 or so, and a dividing aisle running along the center. But Draco had never ridden the night bus, nor did he care to. They were two of the last few to arrive, a strange mashup of Theo's friends and Potter's friends, many of whom had commingled over the years, packed into the narrow benches like children. Almost instantly, Draco felt Pansy's gaze sear through him from where she sat with Daphne, and her eyes tightened before she began whispering instantly.
"This one looks good," Granger announced, tugging him with her rather bodily for her slight stature,
and he sank into the bench near the front with her. Rolling her head to face him, she beamed.
"I'm so excited."
Amusement tugged at his lips as he stared at her, and moments later the rest of the group came aboard. Draco slung an arm around her shoulders, ducking in close.
"Too much?" she whispered.
Draco rolled his eyes. "Maybe a little." He could feel a dozen set of eyes still lingering on them, the tension in the small space mounting, but he kept his focus on Granger, until her stare dipped to his waist, color flaring in her cheeks.
"You need to secure your belt," she whispered, clicking a latch around her lap. "I don't trust Harry's driving that much."
Blinking at her, Draco tilted his head to observe what she had done. Then he looked down at his own trousers.
"What?"
"The belt," she repeated. "Shall I?"
"What?"
Granger reached across him, his eyes widening when her hand grazed his lower abdomen, and she pulled a thick strip of fabric free from within his seat, securing it into a buckle on his other side with a click. Draco swallowed thickly, audibly. Staring hard at the seat in front of her, she nodded.
"There you are."
"Thanks."
Blowing out a breath, he murmured,
"Merlin Granger, a little early to be groping me, don't you think?"
"Of course."
Her eyes drifted to the ceiling.
"Of course you're going to make a stupid—"
"I'm only joking."
Squeezing her closer on the bench, he added a little louder,
"Aren't you just wonderful? Trying to keep me safe. I'm so lucky."
Slowly, Granger's narrowed eyes slid towards his. Her voice was low and quiet.
"Now who's overdoing it?"
"Noted."
At the front of the bus, Theo gave a cheerful wave, and the general buzz of conversation dropped off.
"Thanks for coming along. We're looking forward to a wonderful weekend of camping with everyone, muggle style."
He clapped his hands together, grinning.
"It's going to be excellent."
A half-hearted chorus of mixed agreement and dissent sounded, and Draco fought the urge to laugh. The weekend wasn't about them, it was about Theo and Potter, and if this was how they wanted to celebrate with their friends, then Draco would try to make the most of it. Even though he had not a bloody clue how to survive in the wild like a muggle. He could only hope there would be plenty of alcohol, but knowing Theo, they'd all be drowning in it. Potter took up the seat at the front, and with a great nausea-inducing lurch, the bus started forward. Draco ducked in closer to Granger's ear.
"You're going to make sure I get out of this alive, right?"
Her lips curled with something genuine enough that it reached the pit of his stomach.
"Of course. What sort of girlfriend would I be otherwise?"
A slow grin dragged across his face in return. Upon disembarking from the bus, Draco's nerves were shot. The contents of his stomach curdled, and his legs nearly gave out when he stood. Potter's driving had been harrowing enough, and with Draco's limited experience in muggle vehicles before, he felt ill.
"You look a little green,"
Granger murmured as she awkwardly slung her pack around her shoulders.
"Are you feeling all right?"
"Of course,"
Draco managed tightly. He rushed from the vicinity of the vehicle in a bid for fresh air, but Potter caught his arm, brandishing an empty shoebox.
"Nice try, Malfoy. Your wand, please."
Although the last thing Draco wanted to do was give up his wand, Theo cocked his brows as well, and Draco grimaced.
"What if something happens?"
"The box has a failsafe. In the event of an emergency, a genuine one, mind you, you'll be able to retrieve your wands." Potter's eyes hadn't left Draco, as though he might simply drill a hole through him in recompense for bringing Granger as his date. Huffing a loud breath, Draco relinquished his wand. But before he could escape, Potter dragged Granger away from the rest of the group, and Draco averted his gaze from their animated discussion. A tall log cabin stood before them, surrounded by a veil of trees. It certainly wasn't unappealing, if a person was interested in living with minimal connection to society and very little by way of amenities, neither of which was the case. But he had already committed to his best effort for the weekend, for Theo's sake. He already felt bereft without his wand, and when Granger joined him several minutes later with a stern expression, he glanced down at her.
"Everything all right?"
"Just fine," she breezed. "Harry simply had a few questions about us."
"Ah."
"And I told him it was new, and we don't know where it's going yet, but that we're looking forward to getting to know one another better." She gave a stiff, diplomatic nod.
"An excellent answer."
He gestured a hand towards the cabin, and with a gracious smile, Granger made her way inside. It was nicer than Draco expected for a lodge in the middle of nowhere. The common space was large and comfortable, surrounding a large fireplace, and the entirety of it smelled like warm cedar. A stairway led up to the second level, where Draco could see a row of doors. Potter rubbed at the back of his neck as he and Theo followed them inside.
"Look, so there should be enough rooms for everyone. Only problem is we had to get some of the furnishings from a muggle shop, so we would have enough, and then we had to build them ourselves from a pile of parts with obscure instructions, and, well, Ron broke some of it."
"Hey!"
Weasley retorted. "And we've only just learned," Potter finished, "so it just means we'll all be a bit more cozy."
Draco turned on the spot towards him.
"What does that mean?"
"He only means we're short one bed," Theo quipped, clapping him on the shoulder. "But since we didn't know the two of you were coming together, it all works out."
Drawing in a careful, even breath, Draco glanced sidelong towards Granger. Her lips were thinned into a tight line, but moments later she smiled. Her eyes squinted.
"That's just fine," she said, looping her elbow into Draco's. Then her eyes drifted up towards his with a heat he hadn't anticipated. "We don't mind."
"Right."
Draco could feel Pansy's gaze lingering on him, as though with disbelief, so he added,
"Not only do we not mind, we're thrilled."
While he fought the urge to grimace at himself, Longbottom spoke up.
"I don't mind sleeping on the sofa, or the floor, or, well, anywhere, really."
He shrugged, a banal smile on his face. "Just happy to have a weekend away from the city." Pansy cocked a brow as she eyed Longbottom.
"Well, I have no intentions of sleeping on the floor or the sofa. Come on, Daff, let's go pick out our rooms."
As the pair flitted up the stairs, Draco affixed another patient smile to his face and turned towards Granger.
"Shall we, love?"
Her eye twitched.
"Yes, let's."
Once upstairs, Draco made a beeline for the room farthest from everyone else, and he closed the door behind them with a long exhale.
"Sorry about this. I should have made sure we could..."
"It's all right," she breathed, slipping her bag onto a chair against the wall. "We're adults. We'll make do, right? And it's only for 2 nights. It would have been suspicious if we fussed over having to share."
"Yeah, still."
Pursing his lips, he gazed around the room adorned with wood furnishings and a patchwork quilt in shades of green and cream.
"It's rather nice, if you're interested in the Mountain Lodge aesthetic."
Peering at herself in the mirror, Granger removed her hat and fixed several rogue curls that had slipped free of her plaits.
"I think it's lovely." She took a step towards him. "I'm just happy Harry's found someone with a shared interest in doing things like this."
She snagged her lower lip between her teeth.
"I'm so pleased he's got Theo."
Some of the tension Draco had been carrying all day deflated as he rolled out his shoulders.
"You're right. Potter's exactly who Theo needs, and they're very well suited."
He gave a slow nod.
"And this is their last chance before the wedding to celebrate with their friends. Let's make it a good one, yeah?"
Granger's fingers trailed along the outside of his arm, and he forcefully suppressed a shudder at the featherlight touch.
"Yeah."
As she peered up, her large chocolate eyes landing on his, Draco felt color creep up his throat towards his cheeks.
"I heard something about a wine and cheese reception outside around the fire."
"That would be Theo's doing."
A chuckle fell from his lips. Maybe the weekend wouldn't be so terrible after all.
"Let's go."
Within minutes of stepping outside, Draco found himself torn from Granger's side when Blaze threw an arm over his shoulder and pulled him away from the fire. A half-empty bottle of Merlot hung from his fingers against Draco's arm, the liquid sloshing aggressively inside. Draco offered a muddled shrug to Granger's inquisitive expression, but she simply smiled and joined into a conversation with several of her former Gryffindor mates. Blaze fixed him with hooded eyes.
"So you and Granger, eh?"
Drawing in a breath, Draco nodded.
"Seems so."
For a flickering moment, Blaze attempted to drink straight from his wine bottle, which only pulled Draco squarely into his chest, before he recoiled his arm entirely and took a sip.
"Since when?"
Pursing his lips, Draco toed the ground and gave a noncommittal shrug.
"A few weeks, I suppose. It's new."
With another long swig, Blaze said, "So it isn't serious or anything?"
"I didn't say that."
Draco stiffened under the questioning. Blaze was notoriously a rake, and he didn't care for where the conversation was headed.
"I find I quite like her."
"Damn." His face tightened with distaste. "Granger was supposed to be the only eligible bird here this weekend."
"Well, she isn't."
The words fell from Draco's lip a bit harder than he'd intended, and he blew out a breath.
"What about Daff and Pans? They're both single, as far as I know."
Blaze shook his head and drank another healthy measure of wine. Idly, Draco wondered if it wasn't his first bottle, and cocked a brow. They'd only just arrived an hour ago.
"Pansy's your ex, and Daff's met some bloke, apparently," Blaze murmured, "which is a shame, because otherwise..." "Right. At any rate, hopefully it works out with Granger. Let me know if it doesn't."
Blaze shrugged, offering the bottle which only had a small amount of wine remaining.
"Wine?"
A bitter feeling swelled within the pit of Draco's stomach, and unbidden, his eyes drifted towards Granger, who was sitting by the fire and sipping from her own glass.
"No thanks, mate."
Draco clapped a hand to Blaze's shoulder and made to retreat to her side, to prove a point if nothing else, when Theo appeared at his other side. And Theo didn't look impressed.
"A minute, please, Draco."
He caught the flicker of amusement in Granger's stare, when Theo pulled him towards the trees once more, and he simply lifted both brows.
"Explain." "What is there to explain?" Draco asked, adjusting the collar of his hooded jumper. "Granger and I have seen one another a few times, not entirely untrue, and we decided to attend this weekend together."
Theo released a long breath.
"I don't believe a fucking word you just said. Hermione told Harry some story, and he bought it, but I know you, Draco, and I know you would have told me if something was going on. You haven't introduced a woman to your friends since you and Pansy split."
For a beat, Draco hesitated. It wasn't the end of the world if Theo knew. Draco knew he wouldn't tell Pansy the truth. But it was Theo's weekend, and he didn't want to drag his best mate into his own personal issues.
"I know," Draco assuaged with a mild shrug. "I should have brought it up before, but you've been busy with last-minute wedding things, and putting this weekend together, and... I don't know, Theo. I think she's great. I just didn't want to make a big deal of things until I knew if it's going anywhere."
Skepticism still hung in Theo's brow, but his face faltered.
"You're sure it isn't an attempt to keep Pansy off your case this weekend? Because that was my first thought, but I've no idea how you would have convinced Granger to play along."
Draco shook his head stiffly.
"All right."
Ducking his chin, Theo fixed him with a stare.
"But Hermione isn't just any woman. She's lovely, and Harry's best friend, and I'll get shite if you hurt her, yeah?"
He sucked in a deep breath and blew it out slowly as his gaze flickered towards the fire, where Potter and Granger were caught in a laugh.
"You were more accepting than I would have imagined when I told you about Harry. So, I sincerely hope it works out for you."
His stomach rolled with nausea, but Draco dredged forth a smile.
"Thanks, Theo. I appreciate it."
When he finally slipped into the seat beside Granger on a wooden bench, propped up by stumps, he offered her a smile.
"Everything all right?"
She silently handed him a glass of wine, and Draco took a deep, obliging pull. He grimaced when he lowered the glass.
"This swill is not all right. Theo knows better than this."
When she tittered, he smirked.
"Everything's fine. Theo didn't believe your story to Potter, but I set him straight. And Blaze? Well, Blaze is just a whore, so..."
Granger snorted, clapping a hand over her mouth as she forcibly swallowed a mouthful of wine.
"Good to know."
Despite himself, he laughed.
So just keep your wits about you around that one, and you'll be fine.
According to Harry, he is nearly through 2 bottles of wine alone. Granger smiled, eyeing him for a moment, and the humor fell from his face when he found her stare. Maybe this weekend won't be so terrible.
Across the bonfire, which had grown large enough to keep them all plenty warm, he noted Pansy and Daphne talking with Longbottom and Dean Thomas, although it was more that the two pairs were having conversations beside one another. And every time Longbottom spoke, Pansy peered at him with disdain. Draco wrapped an arm around Granger, tugging her a little closer, and surprise fluttered through him at how natural the effort felt. Almost unwittingly, he brushed a light kiss to the crown of her curls.
Maybe you're right.
It had been years since the last time Draco had been fully and properly sloshed on wine. He would most certainly regret it tomorrow, but he took a long swig from a bottle of the cheap bulk wine Theo had purchased for the weekend, throwing his head back with a laugh. The bonfire had begun to dwindle at last as people stumbled back towards the cabin to sleep, or pass out in most cases, but a pitch blanket hung over them, spotted with clear white stars that Draco could never see through the haze of light in London, and he couldn't remember the last time he'd enjoyed himself so well. Eventually, the only ones that remained were himself and Granger, along with Theo and Potter.
"Cheers," Potter blurted, slurring his words. "To our best man and, best woman," Granger contributed.
"That," Theo gestured towards her with his own bottle. They had long since forsaken glasses. "And you both have been..."
"Champions," Potter added.
Theo brandished a finger. "Fucking champions." A grin crawled across Draco's face as he tugged Granger into his chest. She peered up at him, her eyes wide and sparkling and a little glassy, and it was an effort to tear his eyes away.
"I can't speak for us both, but I've only wanted to help make your wedding the best it could be."
"You can speak for me there," Granger giggled.
Draco's eyes lingered on Potter for a moment.
"When Theo first told me about you, I thought he was off his bleeding rocker. But you're fucking perfect for each other."
Waving his own bottle, they all toasted with another raucous clamor of glass. Chuckling, Potter took a sloppy swig from his bottle, spilling a bit of wine down his front.
"For what it's worth, I think you two are good together as well."
"Truth," Theo pursed his lips. "They're both fucking swats." He and Potter shared a grin. Granger cackled, burying her face briefly in Draco's chest.
"I can't deny that."
Frowning, Draco looked between the three of them.
"I don't think I'm a fucking swat."
"You are,"
Theo cut in. His hazel eyes flashed with a warm glow from the depleted fire.
"But in the good way, mate. Not the fucking bothersome way."
Potter pointed a finger at him in agreement.
"That's right."
Swirling the dregs of his wine on the next bench over, Theo finished the last of his bottle, losing his balance and toppling backwards from his bench. Potter's attempt to catch him was half-hearted, only causing to make the effort worse, and the pair of them ended up sprawled in a heap. Tears broke from Granger's eyes with peals of laughter, and Draco gaped at them all in alarm.
"I'm too drunk for this," he huffed.
Potter had managed to get Theo back to his feet.
"Probably a sign we ought to retire and leave you both to it,"
Potter said with a snicker and a bit of a wink.
"Good night."
A sleepy smile drifted across Granger's face, but she didn't withdraw from Draco's hold around her shoulders.
"Good night."
When Potter poured a pail of water into the smoldering embers, and he and Theo stumbled their way towards the cabin, she turned to face him.
"Are you tired?"
Draco scrunched up the bridge of his nose in thought, and peered at the remains of wine in his own bottle.
"Soon."
"Let's go for a walk."
He couldn't have said no to the hopeful warmth in her face if he'd tried. Standing carefully, Draco tugged a little too hard on her hand, and she nearly collided face first into his chest. But Granger simply beamed at him and entwined their fingers once more with a quiet,
"For practice."
"Right. Practice."
Draco bit his tongue on the suggestion that there were plenty of other things they also could have practiced. The feel of her pressed against him all night had stirred awake every part of him, and he was of half a mind to sleep outside so he didn't have to deal with the inevitable temptation of sleeping in the same bed as her, especially when he had no right to feel that way. As they drifted into the woods surrounding the cabin, Granger slipped her hand around the neck of his wine bottle and swiped it, taking a sip before handing it back to him. Draco lifted a brow.
"Where's yours?"
Thinning her lips, she only shrugged.
Despite himself, Draco released a laugh. He supposed if there was one person who he could pretend to spend the weekend with, Granger wasn't a bad choice. Never mind the fact that his heart had been twirling acrobatics in his chest all night. Although he felt as though he should speak, Granger seemed content to remain quiet at his side as they walked. Until they broke through the trees to find a smooth, shimmering lake ahead of them. Her eyes sparkled as she released his hand and paced forward. Draco watched as the water seeped through the toes of her trainers, but she didn't retreat. The night air had grown increasingly cool, and away from the fire he could feel a chill creeping through the fabric of his jumper.
"We should go swimming," she mused, gazing out towards where the nearly full moon glinted on the surface of the lake.
"Now?"
Draco could only imagine they would catch something. She glanced towards him, her glazed eyes twinkling, and shrugged.
"I suppose that isn't the best idea." Biting down on her lower lip, she added, "And I'm not wearing my suit."
Draco swallowed thickly, his traitorous body stirring at the thought.
"Neither am I."
But she only ducked her chin, smiling up at him, and he chuckled.
"Granger, are you coming on to me?"
Taking a step closer, her toes nearly nudged his, and she breathed a soft, facetious,
"Of course not. We're only pretending, right?"
He didn't know how to lie to her, when he was, in fact, more than a little interested in swimming with her without their suits, and he didn't think pretense had anything to do with it. So he wrenched his stare away.
"I imagine the water's cold."
"Yeah."
Snagging his wine again, she took another long sip and sank down into the cold sand.
"It is."
Draco joined her, unable to resist pulling her close into his side again. Gazing out at the light waves rolling in, he sighed.
"Tell me something, Granger."
"Tell you what?"
"Something funny. Something stupid. I don't care."
Shifting a little further into his hold, she hummed for a moment.
"Okay, I've got one that's both. Now, it certainly wasn't funny at the time, though Harry and Ron thought so. Second year, I brewed polyjuice because we wanted to infiltrate the Slytherin common room."
Draco's eyes widened, but she went on without looking at him.
"Only the hair I took from Millicent's robes was from her cat."
"What?"
He blinked at her several times.
"You turned into a fucking cat? Why were you doing that in the first place?"
She snickered softly, eyelids fluttering as she rested her face on his chest.
"The transformation is always meant to revert within an hour, with human hair. But, Merlin, it was bad. I had to go to the hospital wing and everything."
"And the Slytherin common room part?"
Draco deadpanned.
"Oh."
She peered up at him again, a bit of an apologetic tilt to her lips.
"Harry thought you were Slytherin's heir. He wanted to confirm whether you'd been the one releasing the basilisk."
His stomach sank, a sudden swirling of nausea, and he cocked a brow.
"Granger, I was 12. Why would I have..."
"I know," she breathed, worrying her bottom lip. "I know you didn't. It wasn't meant to upset you."
After a moment, he snickered.
"You turned into a bloody cat."
A slow grin spread across her face.
"It was fucking awful. You really ought to have seen it. Only you'd have never let it go."
"Most definitely not."
He stared at the warmth in her eyes, the soft upwards curl to her lips, the way the moonlight glinted off her wild curls. Draco was in trouble. Some part of him had already known that he was interested in Granger. She was brilliant, witty, compassionate, beautiful, all the things he didn't deserve in a partner. But an uneasy sort of longing crept into him at the way she beamed at him, as though he was someone worthy of her attention.
"I never treated you well,"
he mused, as much to her as to himself, and the smile fell from her lips.
"Never. And I wish I had, Granger. That's all."
"It's all right."
"It's not,"
he pushed, grounding tight the line of his jaw.
"It isn't all right, because you didn't..."
He swept a hand through his hair.
"You didn't deserve that."
Any lingering warmth drained from her expression, and she retreated from his hold, a knit furrowing her brows. Draco almost couldn't stand the sadness drawing her face, knowing for years he had been the culprit. At last she shook her head.
"It's okay, Draco, because I've come to know a different side of you. I know you aren't like that anymore. I forgive you for anything you might have said or done, all right?"
He couldn't recall whether he had ever heard her use his given name in a direct address towards him. "And to be honest," she breathed, "I find I quite enjoy your company." Releasing a tight breath through his nose, Draco felt despair pull at his brow, then nothing at all. And Merlin, he had never wanted to kiss someone so badly as in that moment.
"Okay, Granger."
He settled for a brush of the lips to her brow, tugging a curl between his fingers. She burrowed into his chest once more, and Draco felt a combination of fatigue and wine tug at his eyelids as he stifled a wide yawn.
"Perhaps we ought to get some sleep."
Granger hummed a muffled sound against his jumper. Draco chuckled and helped her to her feet, unable to stop himself searching out her gaze once more.
"Thanks."
With sleepy eyes, she tapped him on the nose.
"You're welcome. And don't you dare tell Theo about the cat thing."
The rest of the cabin was already silent when they ventured inside. Evidently Granger, while drunk, had the grace of an elephant, and as she tripped up the stairs, she nearly pulled Draco down with her. A mirthful giggle broke free of her lips when he fumbled with the doorknob, and finally they made it into their room. Draco, holding back his own laughter, as he leaned back against the inside of the door.
"You're fucking wrecked,"
he snickered, tugging his jumper over his head. The warm, smoky odor of the bonfire clung to the fabric, and for a moment he allowed it to wash over him. Granger snorted.
"Hardly."
When she tried to remove her own jumper, however, it caught on her hair, and she wound up with her face trapped. Biting down on his lip to withhold another laugh, Draco released the fabric and helped her free. The last thing they needed was to wake everyone up, and it wasn't as though he could cast a silencing charm. Beaming up at him, Granger snagged her pack and darted into the adjoining loo. Draco changed into his sleep trousers, his head spinning a little, and she returned moments later in a thin top and shorts. Briefly, his eyes lingered on her bare legs before she swatted him in the chest. But before he could say anything, she snorted and tossed a small box at him from where it sat on the nightstand.
"What's this?"
He peered closer at the packaging, lifting a brow. Granger tittered, though her cheeks grew flushed.
"It's a pack of condoms. Muggle contraception. Someone either thinks they're funny or considerate."
Draco snorted, flipping open the cardboard top.
"How does it work?"
Swiping the box, her fingers brushing his, Granger plucked a connected row of foil packets out and tore one free. She brandished it too close to his face with a giggle.
"You just open the packet and roll it on."
"What?"
Her shoulders shook with laughter as she folded her legs beneath herself on the bed.
"Okay, I'll show you."
Idly, Draco wondered how many muggles she'd slept with to have a working knowledge of such a thing, but it wasn't his business. He perched on the edge of the bed, peering closer when she tore open the foil package and brandished a thin, rubbery-looking circle.
"That is supposed to provide protection. It looks ridiculous."
"It's just..."
Fixing the rubber with an intense look of focus, she unrolled part of it onto her finger. Another bright peal of mirth escaped her lips, and Draco leaned forward, clapping a hand over her mouth with a grin.
"You're going to wake the whole cabin," he snickered.
Releasing her, he sat back, watching as she fumbled with the idiotic-looking thing.
"You're telling me it's a fucking cock balloon?"
Tears shone at the corner of her eyes as she pressed her lips together hard. Drawing in a deep breath, she whispered,
"It's more like a cock glove."
"Fuck,"
Draco groaned, gnawing on his knuckle to keep from laughing at her demonstration.
"I'll stick with charms and potions, thanks."
"A much better idea," she mused, discarding the ring and the packet in the bin. "They aren't entirely effective, either."
Draco's eyes drooped, and the flashing muggle clock on the nightstand showed it was already 3:30.
"We need to sleep."
With an ostentatious yawn, Granger slipped beneath the covers.
"I think we're fine to keep to ourselves, unless you're a traveler."
"If I travel," Draco murmured, "it'll be unintentional. Though I'm so tired at this point, I'm sure I'll sleep like a rock."
Leaving a careful wedge of space between them, he pulled the blankets up to his neck, catching Granger's eye as she watched. Her feet nudged his, ice cold, and Draco recoiled his own.
"No feet!"
"But my feet are cold."
She blinked wide eyes at him, her lips pulling downward into a frown, and Draco snickered despite himself.
"In fact, it's cold in here."
"You'll warm up," he huffed. "You just said you don't want either of us to travel. I'm vetoing cuddling of any sort, for both our sakes."
"Fine."
The word was a soft whisper, but even so, Granger shifted a little closer into the center of the bed. Draco didn't have the heart to steer her away, when all he really wanted to do was drag her close. But he recognized well enough the fact that they'd both drank far too much, and the last thing he wanted was for Granger to wake up with his erection against her arse. It would certainly make for an uncomfortable day tomorrow. Her eyes had already fluttered shut, her face falling peaceful, and Draco shifted onto his back.
"Sweet dreams, Granger."
Although her eyes remained shut, her lips curled with a smile. "Good night, Draco." He couldn't help the way his heart stuttered, just a little, and moments later he succumbed at last to the eager pull of sleep.
ETL Echo, echoing tales of enemies to lovers.
ETL Echo presents Stag by In Dreams. Chapter 3.
Draco awoke to Granger's wide eyes, close. Not quite panicked, but not exactly warm, either.
"Hi,"
she whispered. His head throbbed and pulsed as though it might simply explode, and perhaps that would be preferable to the nauseating pain.
"Hello."
As he took stock of the situation, uneasiness crept in. One of his arms hung loosely across her waist, the other tucked beneath her neck. Granger's legs were entwined with his, her face only inches away.
"I thought you said you weren't a traveler," she breathed.
"I'm not," he scoffed. "I'm still on my side. This is on you."
Color flooded her cheeks as she glanced behind her, but turned back towards him with a wince.
"My bloody skull feels atrocious. Please tell me Theo's allowing us hangover drafts."
"If he doesn't, I'm never forgiving him."
Cautiously, Draco extracted his arm from her waist, but she didn't shift to oblige his efforts to reclaim the other arm. When he looked up, she laid with her eyes pressed shut, drawing shallow breaths.
"If you're going to toss, please don't do it on me."
"I'm not. I don't think..."
They were more compromised than Draco had anticipated, and Granger seemed preoccupied enough with being hungover, so it could have been worse. Still, he couldn't help the way his body flared with awareness of her, the thrill of it coursing thick in his veins. One of her feet was tangled around his calf, her knee jumbled with both of his own, and the warmth from her smaller form played havoc with his senses. Her eyes darted towards his. As though just realizing the position they were in, she swallowed, eyeing him carefully.
"Perhaps we ought to get up. Get some breakfast and some coffee."
"Coffee?"
But she didn't make a move to get up, her eyelids drifting shut once more, and if he wasn't mistaken, she settled in a little closer, facing him again.
"Maybe just a bit longer."
If it were up to him, and they hadn't agreed upon this ridiculous scenario, if Draco had actually gathered the bullocks to legitimately ask her out, they would have simply stayed in bed. He didn't care about the rest of the group or what inane plans Theo and Potter had for the day. All he cared about in that moment was the soft, receptive woman curled partially around him. Idly, Draco stroked a curl back from her forehead, his fingers gentle as they brushed her temple. A soft groan slipped her lips.
"That feels nice."
Cautiously, he drifted his fingertips along the line of her hair, tucking her loose curls beneath her head, and eventually her breathing evened out a little. Draco brushed his lips against her temple, and a soft breath fell from her lips against his collarbone.
"Are you all right?"
he murmured. Granger hummed for a moment, then nodded.
"You can do that again, if you like."
He could hear the amusement in her voice.
"Practice and all."
A smirk tugged at his own lips, and he planted another soft, lingering kiss to her forehead, then another against her temple, making a feather-light trail down her cheekbone, towards the soft curve of her jaw. A breath hitched in her throat, her eyes sliding open to land on his. He grazed her jaw gently with his teeth.
"You can tell me if we're done practicing."
Some internal part of him needed her to tell him not to kiss her, because it would have been so easy. But her fingers slid into the hair at the back of his head, and instead of pushing him away, she dragged his face closer. Draco swallowed, feeling the enticing warmth of her breath mingle with his own. Her lips were so close they could brush against his just from an erroneous movement.
"Granger,"
he breathed, curling his fingers around the back of her head.
"I don't..."
A loud, aggressive knock sounded on the door, startling Draco back.
The loud noise seared through his pounding head, and he dropped back into his pillow.
"Get up, fucking lovebirds!" someone shouted from the corridor beyond. In the muddled haze that was his brain, he couldn't tell if it was Blaze or Theo, but he was going to kill them. Granger's eyes lingered on the ceiling above, her body stiff with tension.
"Sorry," Draco muttered, sweeping a hand through his hair. "I need a shower."
"Right," she whispered, pressing her eyes tightly shut for a moment before blinking them open. "I'm just going to get some coffee and something to eat, I think." He managed a short nod.
"Fine. I'll meet you down there."
Without meeting her gaze, he feared all too much what he might find there. He dragged himself from his side of the bed and made for the loo. He could feel her eyes on him the whole way. By the time Draco arrived in the kitchen, he was one of the last. Much to his dismay and everyone else's, apparently, Theo hadn't allowed for hangover relief potions after all. Draco helped himself to a mug of coffee and sank into the empty seat beside Granger, where she fiddled with a half-eaten slice of toast, her gaze fixed resolutely on the mug in front of her. Most likely, she'd been unnerved by the fact that he'd nearly kissed her, when they had both agreed that such a thing wouldn't be happening. Taking a sip of his scalding coffee, he gave her hand what he could only hope was a brief, friendly squeeze below the table. But before he could release her, Granger's fingers slipped between his. Draco's eyes lingered on Longbottom across the room, who was casting Pansy furtive glances, but he couldn't be bothered to decipher the exchange when his head felt as though it might explode. His gaze drifted towards the floor.
"What the fuck are you wearing?"
Longbottom's gaze snapped up.
"Slippers!" "Why," Draco drawled, rolling his eyes, "are your slippers shaped like fluffy bunny rabbits?"
Granger giggled at his side, but Longbottom only flashed an unapologetic grin.
"They're comfortable, mate. You should wear some."
Draco released a sound of irritation in the back of his throat.
"You could not pay me."
To his surprise, Pansy folded her arms and fixed him with a scowl. "Not everything's about you, Draco." Her eyes drifted towards Longbottom. "I think they're nice." His mouth fell open, and Draco lifted a brow.
"Okay."
Pansy was the biggest snob about fashion he had ever met. There was no way she actually liked Longbottom's ridiculous, massive slippers. At his side, Granger's lips twitched with amusement. But before Draco could say anything more, Theo cleared his throat and grinned at the whole room. He was the only one who didn't look tremendously hungover, but Draco had a vivid recollection of him being unable to walk in a straight line the night before.
"I hope everyone enjoyed the wine and cheese reception," he announced, brandishing his hands. "Forgot there was cheese," Draco muttered, rubbing at his eyes.
Granger blew out a breath. "We should have had more cheese."
"Today," Theo went on, ignoring them, "we are going to have a scavenger hunt."
If he had been expecting a joyous reaction, he didn't receive one. By the way, a dozen people stared blankly at him. Undeterred, Theo pressed on.
"You'll be working in teams of two, and you'll have a list of things to find. But to make things interesting, each team will receive one vial of Felix Felicis and one Niffler."
Draco ground his jaw.
"He brings Felix and Nifflers, but no hangover drafts," he muttered under his breath.
Granger offered him a thin smile, warmth glimmering in her eyes. Lifting his voice, he said,
"I thought this was a muggle weekend."
"It is," Potter interjected, "but we thought that would make the scavenger hunt a little more interesting. Now, pair up and we'll explain the rules." Draco could see Blaze eyeing Granger from across the room, and before his friend could encroach, he turned towards her.
"Partner?"
"Of course." Her brows flickered, as though surprised he had asked. Whether she had wanted to pair up with one of her friends, or if she expected they would partner, he couldn't tell. Folding his arms, he sank back into his seat, fixing Blaze with a hard stare. The other man's lips only curved with a challenging smirk that left Draco remarkably unsettled. It wouldn't be the first time Blaze had disregarded such a thing as propriety, and his lack of respect for boundaries was largely the reason Draco kept him at arm's length. Curious despite himself, Draco glanced up. While he had expected Pansy and Daphne to pair up, Pansy lingered beside Longbottom. Daphne had joined with Tracy. Following his gaze, Granger snickered as she tore a piece of crust from her toast. "Wonder what happened between Pansy and Neville last night?" Draco's eyes bulged at the thought, but Granger's lips tugged downwards.
Maybe your problem for the weekend is solved.
If he was honest, his real problem was going to be keeping it in his pants around Granger until the following afternoon. You don't get to back out of our arrangement, he breathed. Unless you really want to, of course.
Her face softened a little. Not a chance. You're as competitive as I am, and we need to win this scavenger hunt.
When Theo returned with a basket of Nifflers, Draco turned towards her with a grin. You've got yourself a fucking deal. 3 cups of coffee later, Draco found himself in the woods, a Niffler wearing an orange ribbon tied like a bow around its neck, snuffling the ground ahead of them. The morning air was cool, and he'd donned a jumper, but the sun had begun to creep higher in the sky, the thick clouds overhead breaking apart. So far, he and Granger had marked 3 of the 10 items from their list, and if it was up to Draco, he would have given up on the damn thing and taken her up on her offer of swimming from the night before. With or without suits, he wasn't particular. The vial of Felix Felicis they'd been given only had enough for 2 small sips, and while most of their friends had drank theirs right away, Draco knew it was only enough to last roughly an hour. They would have to be selective and drink it when they most needed it. But so far, their Niffler had found most of their items, including a buried coin and a silver chain. Draco wondered how much effort Theo and Potter had put into preparing for the hunt.
A dead tree, Granger hissed, cross-referencing their list. We need a branch from a dead tree.
Got it. Draco scaled a few feet up, the blackened bark rough on his hands, and he snapped a thin, outreaching branch. He stowed it in his pack, the end of it brushing against the back of his head, and Granger smiled as she crossed the item from her list.
This one's going to be tricky. She gnawed her bottom lip as she scanned the list again. The ribbon from another team's Niffler. I thought I saw Blaze not that long ago.
Clenching his jaw shut, he shook his head as she scanned the woods. The last thing he wanted was to run into Blaze and his partner, petty though it might have been. They went the opposite direction. We'll just have to find another team. He plastered a smile onto his face. Not entirely keen on having the orange Niffler, anyway.
What's wrong with orange?
Granger stopped in the woods, folding her arms as she stared at him. It isn't that bad. Draco's lip curled with distaste. Orange is a terrible color for my skin tone. Her lips thinned, amusement dancing in her eyes as she took a step closer.
You're awfully interested in how you appear to others, aren't you?
His mouth went dry. Not everyone. Only some. Granger's expression shifted, her tongue dipping out to moisten her lips. A breath caught in his throat as he watched the movement, overwhelmingly aware of the fact that they were alone in the middle of nowhere.
Sorry,
she whispered.
About earlier.
You don't have to apologize. Shaking his head, he glanced away. I shouldn't have.
It's fine.
Right. Draco cleared his throat. Heart racing in his chest. Adrenaline rushed through him, throbbing dully behind his ears. It's just we aren't actually dating. Her face remained carefully blank, and he might not have noticed anything, but for the slightest flicker of disappointment.
Of course.
It would have been the moment, if he had had the courage. As though something in her stare implored him, he opened his mouth to speak, to say something. He wasn't even sure. To ask her out properly, or tell her that he wished they were dating. The words caught in a jumble on his tongue, backing up in his throat on the way to his lips. He blew out a breath, feeling the chance slip away from him, through every fault of his own cowardice. Finally, she glanced away, her face faltering.
We should carry on, then.
Draco's heart clenched, trapped in a vice of his own making, and before she could walk away, he grabbed her hand. Tugging her back towards him, he ducked his head through the voracious beat of his heart and caught her lips with his own. For a splinter of time, Draco's heart froze, stuttered, and leapt into a sprint. Granger's lips were soft, pliant, and for a split second she simply stood, unresponsive. But then she kissed him in return, her free hand snaking up into his hair and sliding around to the back of his head. Although his pulse clamored in his veins, urging him onwards, Draco drew back, blinking his eyes open to find hers on him, warm, melted chocolate with flecks of gold. She stared at him, her brows pulling up in a semblance of confusion, and he couldn't manage a smile. When she still didn't say anything, his heart sank. I apologize, he muttered. That was inappropriate. A hint of amusement curled her lips.
Was it?
I don't know.
Dropping his chin to stare at her, Draco focused on his shallow breaths.
Yes, maybe.
He reached up, tucking a loose curl behind her ear, and allowing his fingertips to linger along her jaw.
It was inappropriate since I told you we weren't going to kiss.
Was someone watching us I didn't see?
The words were innocuous, but her eyes glinted with mischief.
I don't think it was inappropriate.
His mouth was impossibly dry when he attempted a swallow.
Okay.
Granger's fingers curled in the collar of his jumper, leaning back against a tree.
Are we done discussing this?
Yes, he breathed. Unless you...
The words fell, muffled against her lips, when she dragged him back in again. Her kisses were soft but assertive, tongue darting out to tease his, and Draco deepened the kiss as he planted a hand to the tree bark beside her head. His heart felt as though it might explode as he delved between her lips, shifting flesh against her as the other hand curled around her hip. When a soft groan fell from her lips, Draco slipped a hand beneath her arse, hitching her up so her face was level with his. Her legs coiled around his waist as he pressed her back against the tree, lips never breaking from hers. Awareness of her coursed through his body, hot and steady, in response to the feel of her soft curves pressed against him. She ground against him, and he groaned into her mouth, dragging a trail of open-mouthed kisses along her jaw.
Granger!
He huffed against her skin.
Yeah?
The word fell breathy against his ear as she snagged the lobe between her teeth. A fresh wave of arousal chased through him. He sucked on the soft skin of her neck just below her jaw, and a sinful whimper fell from her lips.
Is this a bad idea?
He asked, giving her arse cheek a squeeze.
Which part? She gasped, tilting her head to oblige him. You and I, in general, or this right now in the forest?
Both.
Granger dragged his face to hers, meeting his lips with another searing kiss before drawing back. She held his eye for a moment, her breaths falling a little heavy, before untangling herself and dropping to the ground.
The second part might merit deeper consideration, she whispered, a smile curling her lips. But I'm in favor of the first.
Almost unwittingly, a grin stretched across his face, and he ducked in to kiss her again, hands curling around to the small of her back.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
An irritated voice huffed, and Draco drew back, lazily turning his head sidelong to see Potter frowning at the pair of them, his arms folded.
I thought if anyone was taking this seriously, it would be you two.
A pretty flush covered Granger's face, and she ducked free of Draco's hold.
We have been.
Her mischievous gaze caught Draco's.
Mostly.
Potter scowled at Draco for a long moment. He stared in return, unwilling to back down. Finally, Potter released a long, aggravated sigh and threw his hands up.
At any rate, if you two can take your hands off one another for a minute, I need your help. I lost Theo. You lost him?
Draco drawled, cocking a brow.
Don't you know by now to keep an eye on him? He has a tendency to wander off.
Defeat weighed on Potter's shoulders.
I know, but I haven't been able to track him down, and I can't operate back to the cabin without my wand.
So this defeats the idea of keeping our wands stowed away for an emergency if no one can reach them,
Granger mused. Potter blinked at her several times. Draco lifted his brows. At last, Potter dragged an uneasy hand across the back of his neck.
Right, that's a fair point. Anyway, I'm sure he's just gone off somewhere, and it isn't an actual emergency. But we're quite far out, and I don't know if he'll know the way back. He's brilliant, but he isn't exactly built for the wilderness. Will you help me?
Granger scooped their niffler from the ground into her arms with a smile.
Of course, Harry. Let's go rescue Theo.
The way her eyes lingered for another moment on him before she ventured into the bush with Potter caused Draco's stomach to twist up into knots. Blowing out a breath, he tugged at his collar and followed after her. Although it took the better part of an hour traipsing through the brush, they eventually located Theo around the far side of the lake. He regarded the three of them with pleasant surprise, as though he hadn't anticipated company.
"Where have you been?" Potter asked, dismay pulling at his brows. "We've been looking for you."
Theo shrugged, gazing out over the lake, arms propped on his bent knees. The sun had grown hot, and Draco had removed his jumper during the walk, so he placed it on the ground beside Theo and sat down.
"'I lost track of where we were at,' Theo mused. "'But then I found the lake, and just decided to stay here for a while.'
Potter sank down on Theo's other side. "'Everything all right?'
"'Of course, love.' Propping his chin on one arm, he took Potter's hand into his. "'Everything's perfect.'
Despite his words, Draco could hear the introspective, almost wistful tone in Theo's voice. Stretching his legs out before him and propping his palms back, Draco squinted into the sun.
"'Reckon we ought to have a chat.'
"'Yeah.' Theo ducked in to press a kiss on Potter's mouth. "'Draco and I will meet you back at the cabin in a while, if that's all right.' Draco glanced up at Granger, and she offered a soft, secretive smile.
"'Of course. Harry and I can make our way back from here.'
Her eyes brightened.
"'Someone needs to finish our scavenger hunt.'
Warmth fluttered in Draco's chest.
"'I'm trusting you not to let Orange Team down, Granger.'
She brandished the Niffler, waving with its paw, and Draco grinned. Leaping to his feet, Potter clapped a hand to Theo's shoulder, and the pair of them ventured back into the woods. Draco turned towards his oldest friend.
"'I know you better than this, Theo. What's wrong? Don't tell me you've got cold feet over the wedding.'
Theo's brows fluttered with surprise.
"'No, not at all. In fact, the opposite. I'm getting married in 2 weeks.'
He jabbed an elbow into Draco's ribs.
"'Nothing's wrong. I suppose it's just all hitting me at once.'
"'That's fair.' They both fell silent, staring out upon the lake for a long moment. The clouds had drifted past but for a few wisps here and there, the sun glistening across the surface of the water in a bright blue sky.
"'For what it's worth, Potter's completely gone for you. Smitten. Twitterpated, even.'
"'Twitterpated?' Theo echoed with a snicker. "'That's an awfully big word for you.' Draco rolled his eyes.
"'I'm a published author, you realize. Just because I'm not a fancy lawyer doesn't mean—'
"'Always thought it was funny,' Theo interrupted his rant with a chuckle. "'The last thing Lucius would have wanted you to do was become a novelist.' Draco cast him a sidelong glance, his lips twitching. They shared a grin. "'At any rate,' Theo went on, "'it's quite obvious you're the Twitterpated one here. I can't believe I didn't see it before last night. The way you look at Granger!'
The words caught him off guard, and Draco shifted in his seat, pursing his lips. He hadn't even realized he'd been so overt.
"'I suppose I quite like her.' "'I'm certainly no expert, of course.'
Theo waved an idle hand, resting his chin on his knees again. "'Definitely not when it comes to women. But as far as I can tell, it's pretty fucking mutual. Harry thinks so too, and he knows Hermione better than anyone.'
Draco's heart clenched in his chest at the thought.
"'Maybe. I don't know, Theo. It's so new. Even newer than he was willing to admit in the moment. I suppose we'll have to see if it goes anywhere.'
"'You need to stop being afraid of a good thing,' Theo said, nudging Draco's shoulder with his. "'Ever since things with Pansy went shite up, you haven't opened yourself up to anyone. Do me a favor. If this thing with Granger is real, and it sure as hell looks it, don't be the one to ruin it, yeah?'
He released a tight breath, letting some of the tension fall from his shoulders.
"'Yeah. Can't imagine what she sees in me.'
The more he thought about it, the more Draco couldn't quite wrap his head around any of it. The way Granger had kissed him back in the forest, and even the way she had looked at him that morning.
"'I can.'
Theo squinted into the beaming sunlight again.
"'I know exactly what she sees in you. And if you'd stop putting yourself down all the time, you'd see it too.'
Draco's stomach roiled at Theo's admonition. Ever since the war, he hadn't been quite able to find his place in society, despite his best efforts. No matter what he did, he couldn't escape the stares from people who had belonged to either side of the war.
"'Thanks, Theo.'
"'And I, for one,' Theo went on, "'will be honored to have you stand beside me at my wedding.' A slow grin pulled at his lips.
"'Thanks, mate. Merlin, you're getting married in 2 weeks.'
Theo threw up his hands in supplication.
"'I know, see?'
Chuckling, Draco shook his head.
"'Can't believe you're marrying Harry Potter.'
"'Yeah.' When Theo's face softened with a gentle smile, as though deep in thought, Draco glanced away towards the lake again. "'Let's get back. Plenty of shenanigans for the evening.'
"'Great,' Draco grumbled, though he flashed Theo a smirk. "'That's just what this weekend needs. shenanigans.
Draco wasn't even certain how she'd done it, though he imagined she'd roped Potter into helping. But Granger had managed to complete their scavenger hunt list by the time he and Theo returned to the cabin. It seemed as though no one else had really tried, however, and simply spent the day out in the wilderness. Pansy and Longbottom were conspicuously absent as the group gathered around the fire to prepare dinner, and despite himself, Draco snickered at the thought. Maybe Longbottom was the type to temper Pansy's wiles and impulses, and not least of all, take her attention off of Draco, whose mind had been wholly fixed on Granger, certainly since last night, but if he was honest, much longer than that. She dropped onto the seat beside him, holding plastic cutlery and a paper plate filled with Muggle campground food. Not that Draco was overly familiar with much of that.
"Best eat," she said quietly, "in case we end up in a repeat of last night."
Draco released a breath with a slow shake of his head.
"No repeats of last night. I am not keen on suffering through another hangover tomorrow."
He caught her eye, dropping his voice.
"Besides, I'd like to spend the evening with you, if you're amenable."
Granger's expression faltered, something soft within her stare that he wished he could bottle and keep with him forever.
"I'd like that, but I thought this weekend was about spending time with Theo before the wedding."
"It is."
Draco snagged a crisp from her plate, biting it in half. He ducked in, brushing a kiss against her temple.
"But I want to spend time with you as well."
Briefly, a stirring of emotion fluttered across her face before she schooled it into a smile.
"That sounds perfect."
When Draco snatched another crisp, she swatted his hand, but she cast a furtive look around at their friends, none of whom were paying them any attention, before lowering her voice.
"So, when you asked me to pretend to be your date for the weekend..."
Draco swallowed the sudden lump in his throat.
"Legitimate. But I'm happy not to pretend."
"Okay." She leaned in, brushing a soft kiss across his lips, and breathed. "I am more than happy if we can do away with pretense."
Draco couldn't remember the last time he'd felt such a genuine surge of elation.
ETL Echo, echoing tales of enemies to lovers.
ETL Echo presents Stag by In Dreams. Chapter 4.
"Look what we still have," Granger said quietly,
brandishing a small vial of sparkling golden liquid. A slow grin spread across his face.
"We never took the Felix."
A hint of facetiousness tugged at her brows.
"We can take it tonight for fun if you want, or we can save it for another time. Felix isn't exactly simple to brew or easy to come by."
"The question, Granger," Draco murmured, "is whether you want to get lucky tonight."
Her eyes widened, a huff of laughter escaping her lips.
"Draco Malfoy, that is an excellent question."
She tittered for a moment, setting the vial aside. They had spent the evening outside by the fire again, indulging in food and conversation, but Draco hadn't drank nearly as much as the night before. And when the cool evening breeze had swept in, Draco and Granger had excused themselves up to their room and prepared for bed.
"I'm only joking, of course," he said quietly. "Taking Felix to that end feels like..."
He scrunched up the bridge of his nose.
"I know," she returned with a giggle. "Like taking advantage of a situation."
Her eyes darted towards his.
"And besides, I reckon if I wanted to get lucky tonight, I wouldn't need to take a luck potion."
Draco slammed his jaw shut with an audible click of his teeth. Heat flared across the surface of his skin, blood surging through his veins in an instant. His pulse throbbed dully behind his ears.
"Granger," he choked, sweeping a hand through his hair. "You didn't just..."
The words fell off, stifled against her lips, and he drew her closer, indulging in the taste of her.
"Tell me one thing."
She broke away, panting, imploring eyes seeking his.
"Is this about more than this weekend?"
Draco's lips twisted to the side.
"Of course it is."
Drawing a deep breath, he held her stare. Theo's words from earlier rattled around his brain, and he sought the best of his courage.
"This is about as long as you want me around."
Something genuine, a mixture of happiness and sadness, tugged at her brow, and finally a smile stretched across her face, stopping Draco's heart for a flickering moment.
When she kissed him again, every part of him sang with awareness of her. The way her curls felt beneath his hands, the soft touch of her lips, the way her hands skimmed his sides before coming to rest on the line of his jaw. Kissing her harder, more assertive, he palmed one of her breasts through the thin fabric of her top and grazed her nipple with the pad of his thumb. Withdrawing, he bit down on her bottom lip. When he fidgeted with the hem of her shirt, she met his eyes with teasing warmth. Draco ducked in, catching her other nipple with his teeth through her shirt, and a soft cry fell from her lips.
"You're going to have to be quiet,"
he mused against her chest, flicking his eyes up towards hers.
"No silencing charm."
"Okay," she breathed, arching towards him. "I can do that." Tugging the low neck of her shirt aside, he caught her breast with his lips and tongue, and when she released another quiet groan, he smirked.
"Are you sure? I mean, I don't mind if everyone hears us."
Briefly, her eyes flashed. "Pratt." But she carted her fingers through his hair, positioning his face over her chest once more, and Draco tugged her shirt fully over her head, leaving her upper half bare to his gaze. When he returned his attention to her breasts, she ran her hands along the bare muscle of his back. The feel of her nails dragging across his shoulder blades sent a shudder chasing through him, and a groan slipped from his mouth. "Quiet," she teased. Draco rolled his eyes, positioning himself above her. Her hands toyed with the waistband of his sleep trousers, and he leaned in to trail a line of kisses along her jawline.
"Are you sure about this?"
"Yes." Her eyes sparkled when they met his again, and she pushed the trousers free of his hips. Her eyes widened almost infinitesimally when her palms met the bare skin of his arse, and her lips curled upwards. "Do you always go commando, or just to sleep?" Tugging his trousers the rest of the way free, Draco flashed her a smirk.
"You'll have to find out, I suppose."
He slipped his fingers beneath the waist of her shorts, kissing her deeply again.
"And you?"
"Nikas, I'm afraid," she snickered. He flashed her a grin, enjoying the easy familiarity between them.
"I happen to like knickers."
Slowly he dragged the shorts down her legs, leaving her in lace knickers that caused Draco's core to clench with arousal and desire. Her hand curled around his cock with several slow, firm pumps, and a breath snagged in his throat. Wicked amusement danced in her eyes as she bit down on her bottom lip. Nudging her knickers aside, Draco slipped one finger, then two, between her folds and into her wet heat, setting a slow, teasing rhythm. Shallow breaths fell from his lips when her grip tightened, and he pulled her into another deep kiss. Then she pressed something against his chest, and Draco pulled back to find her holding one of the foil packets she'd shown him the night before when they were loaded, the Muggle contraceptives. Draco groaned, dropping his face into her shoulder.
"Ugh, no wand."
"Unless you want to try and convince Theo that sex is an emergency, and you need your wand back," she whispered. "We're going to have to make do." Rolling his eyes, Draco muttered,
"I'm not doing that."
Laving another trail of kisses down her chest and abdomen, Draco lingered against the curve of her hip bone, sliding his fingers beneath the band of her knickers and pulled them down her legs. His eyes darted up to her wide ones before planting a kiss to the interior of her thigh. "There is no way I'm going to stay quiet if you do that," she breathed. Draco snickered, dropping another kiss to her stomach.
"Another time, then."
When she tore open the foil packet, Draco shifted up, fixing his expression into stoicism, but she simply grabbed hold of his cock once more and carefully rolled the rubber onto the length of him. He watched, curiosity taking him more than anything, and muttered,
"Thanks."
Granger smiled, looping a hand around his neck and bringing him in for a kiss. "Any time." The feel of it was strange, but he didn't care as he positioned himself against her entrance and pressed inside. A huff chased from her lips. Draco swallowed thickly. She was impossibly tight around him, and just for a moment his chest tightened with the feel of her, the warmth in her eyes, and the trust she'd offered. He eased back and in again, his eyelids fluttering when her hands laced through the hair at his temples, and suddenly Draco wasn't in any rush. Meeting her lips for another searing kiss, he set a patient, indolent rhythm. Her soft, breathy cries ghosted off his lips, calves curling around his waist. Awareness of her danced along every fiber of Draco's being. And when he met her eyes again, drinking in the emotion behind her stare, He didn't know how it had taken him so long to realize what she meant to him. Resting his temple against hers, Draco drove into her, hips rolling with a steady pace, as Granger arched from the bed, her nails grazing the muscles of his back.
"Yes, Draco,"
she breathed, his name from her lips musical and reverent at once, and he almost couldn't stand the way his heart raced in his chest. Capturing her lips, he drove into her harder still, feeling his nerves begin to tighten and coil with impending release. Her cries fell, muffled against his skin, as she held him close. At last she tensed, her fingers digging into his back, and he caught her lips with another kiss as she came, her body tightening and trembling beneath him. Draco's tongue tangled with hers, and with several more thrusts, his climax swept over as like a wave, alighting every nerve. He froze, hovering above her on his forearms, breath mingling with hers as his heart rate gradually slowed. His eyes slid open to find hers, a little glassy but sparkling. She kissed him again, slow and patient, her hands soft along his skin. Draco pressed a lingering kiss to her cheek and another to her forehead, before carefully withdrawing. After disposing of the contraceptive in the bin, he laid beside her once more, pulling the covers over them both. Although he didn't know how to put into words the way he felt in the moment, she simply melted into him, her eyes falling softly shut. Her feet tangled with his, and Draco smiled to himself.
"I suppose we can cuddle tonight."
"Good," she breathed, "because my feet are still cold."
Snickering, he dragged her closer into his chest, and idly he wondered if she could feel the way his heart raced. Her smaller form tucked against him, as though made to fit, and he swallowed, overwhelmed.
"Good night," he murmured. "Hermione."
Her eyes remained shut, but her lips curled into a smile. "Sweet dreams, Draco." If he could have immortalized the moment, he would have. But only minutes later, he felt the heavy tug of sleep on his eyelids and gave in, sinking into sleep with her wrapped in his arms. When Draco stirred awake, it took the entirety of several long moments for the events of the night before to seep back in, one by one. For a flickering instant, he feared it had all been a dream. But the feel of Hermione's curves curled around him brought him back to the present, and a slow grin spread across his face. He sank back into the pillow, shifting a few rogue brunette curls out of his face, and as he considered going back to sleep, she stirred in his hold. Hermione's eyes slid open to find his, a touch of nervousness lingering in her face, but she offered a warm smile all the same.
"Good morning."
"Morning."
Smoothing a hand along the bare skin of her back, following the line of her spine, he released a long breath. She arched towards him, a breath falling against his lips.
"How did you sleep?"
"Well, thank you."
Her gaze sparkled with the remnants of sleep, and she shifted in his arms to stretch with a yawn.
"Very well."
A smirk curled his lips.
"Good. So did I."
"I think I ought to have a shower,"
she said quietly, almost as if she were sharing a secret. Although Draco would have liked to keep her in bed with him all day, he reluctantly rolled onto his back to allow her room. His eyes followed her bare back, the curve of her arse, as she made towards the adjoining loo, and she turned her head back towards him.
"Are you going to join me?"
Draco's smirk broadened into a grin as he bit down on his bottom lip.
"Absolutely." "It's about fucking time," Theo drawled when they finally emerged from their room shortly before lunch. "We thought to send someone to check on you two, but no one wanted to volunteer."
Draco curled an arm around Hermione's front and tugged her against him, looking around the kitchen. Only Theo and Potter sat at the table, sipping mugs of tea. The air around them felt tense.
"Where is everyone?"
"Outside, mostly," Potter clipped, his expression a little stern as he looked at Draco.
"We'll be leaving for London in a couple of hours." "We were discussing tea," Theo went on, though his tone carried a bite that Draco knew all too well and immediately set him on edge. "Harry wants to use that place off Diagon for the wedding, but I told him about the time we went there, and the tea was nasty." Hermione's eyes darted to his. "Right," Draco murmured, edging towards the door. "Yeah, I remember that, vaguely, I think."
Theo scoffed and shook his head with disgust. "A bloody calamity, if you ask me." He had always been overly particular about his tea.
"Nasty tea is, without a doubt, a calamity," Hermione added, as though in solidarity. Draco could see in her face the effort to withhold a laugh. Brandishing a hand, Theo nodded.
"See? A calamity." "I don't know," Potter mused, "because I've been there before as well, and I didn't find the tea to be bad. A little understeeped, maybe, but that's a variable we'd be able to control for the wedding."
"Understeeped was the least of their issues," Theo retorted, clucking his tongue. "Never mind the bitterness, the inconsistent temperature from one cup to the next." Instantly, Draco understood why everyone else had gone outside. Hermione edged towards the door, her fingers slipping into Draco's hand, and she gave a bit of a forceful tug. Without looking back, they slipped through the door. Once outside, a glowing sun beamed down on them, and Draco felt the warmth of it bolster his spirits. Some of their friends were around the fire, others further out in the woods, but Hermione turned towards him, her face lit with a smile that felt as though she had reserved it for him.
"We never went swimming."
"Swimming sounds perfect."
2 weeks later. Never before had Hermione been so beautiful, and Draco had spent the better part of the day attempting to keep his eyes off of her. She wore a dusky rose dress to match his tie and boutonniere, and it set off the melted chocolate of her eyes and hair. Her hair had been pulled back into an elaborate style that tamed most of her curls, but perched atop she wore a pair of small pink butterfly clips, a gift he had learned from her mother, one of the last she had received, before she had cast the charm to remove herself from their memories. He always found her beautiful, even lounging in his flat, especially curled up at his side in the mornings. But the glow she embodied at her best friend's wedding had an allure that drew Draco's gaze from across the room all day. Although they were both in the wedding party, she had been on Potter's side of the aisle, and for the majority of the day he'd had to observe from a distance. The wedding itself was perfect by Theo's standards, and therefore everything Draco could have hoped for in seeing his closest friend marry the love of his life. The tea was excellent, and after the ceremony Hermione had spent the rest of the day at his side, and all of the other details going on around them became a little hazy. Despite Theo's ribbing that if there had been a bouquet, he would have thrown it directly at Hermione, Draco didn't know exactly where things would end up. He knew how he felt about her, though he hadn't quite gathered the nerve to let her know. His palms had been sweaty all afternoon at the thought of telling her that night. But if the sparkle that formed in her eye every time she kissed him was any indication, he liked to think there was a chance for the two of them. Despite a strange beginning and less than ideal roots, she had become everything he wanted in a frighteningly short time. True to his word to Theo, Draco hadn't yet gone out of his way to ruin things between them, and Merlin willing, he never would. They had agreed to finally share the vial of Felix that evening and venture into London, and Draco looked forward to what might come of that. Hermione walked up at his side, her eyes a little glassy and her balance unsteady in her high heels that nearly brought her level with him, and she slung her arms around his neck. "Are you enjoying the wedding?" she asked, lips brushing his in a teasing kiss.
Of course."
He met her eyes, smiling.
"I've got the most beautiful woman in the room here with me."
She huffed a laugh. "Smooth."
"It's the truth."
Cheeks warming with a flush, she eyed him for a moment. "You can't just go around making comments like that and expect for..."
"Granger."
She fell silent, lips quirking with amusement. Idly, Draco wondered how he had wound up here, from a weekend spent in the wilderness following a rubbish dance lesson. And it all began with dirty socks. Her eyes glinted with the sentiment he longed to speak out loud, and he planted another kiss against her lips.
"Shut up and dance with me."
ETL Echo, Echoing Tales of Enemies to Lovers.